This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
This is not a participation trophy, Coach. Dan Hurley is a human furnace of intensity.
It's a zero-sum game. The one that wins is going to have temporary relief. The one that loses is going into a hellhole of suffering. I mean, that for me is how I look at these sports competitions.
The winning makes it enjoyable. Other than that, it's you know, misery.
That was from 60 Minutes. That was Dan Hurley talking about his life as a college basketball coach, as the two-time defending champion. That's how he views life in basketball.
What did he say? A hellhole of suffering?
Yes.
So that's what it is, a hellhole of suffering when you lose. And some mild relief when you win. Tagged on Tom Thibodeau there at the end, because those are some kindred spirits.
I understand that, and I do understand anyone who is in the business of I hate to lose versus I love to win. I get that. We've run across those people throughout our entire career.
But he's not a hellhole of suffering.
He's not even giving love on the win, though. It's just like a little bit of relief.
A lot of people feel that way, that winning is relief, but there is a spectrum of that he is clearly on the far, far end of there not being enough joy in the journey versus the destination.
I think the backdrop for this conversation, and you knew I needed to watch this. You badgered me into watching this.
I'm sorry I badgered you into watching it.
You eventually dragged the audiovisual cart into the studio, into the office, and made me and Tanny watch this thing. 13 minutes, we're sitting there. I was like, yay, there's a sub. All right, let's go. And we're watching the thing. And I understand, because the backdrop, you and I are both fascinated by the human nature behind some of sport's biggest stars. What drives them to be great can also drive them to be absolute a-holes in their actual life sometimes. Can make them miserable and make life miserable for them with their families, with their loved ones, potentially. They can have difficult places in the world to traffic. But, oh, by the way, it's tough to give that up when it's making them great at their pursuit.
What's the is it garbage? Where is it? What drives you on, drives you mad, can drive you mad? That garbage lyric. And it's just like, this is what I'm looking at when I'm looking at Dan Hurley. Like, I'm seeing a guy that's seemingly in pain when he should be having the most. He should feel so validated by what his UConn teams have done over the last couple of years. Uh-huh. No one's been close. No one's been close to those guys. Well, what's the least amount that they've won by is 13 points in tournament games?
Yeah, in 12 straight tournament games, they've won by
13 points or more.
A minimum of 13 in winning two titles. But this year it's not gone so well.
they're over 20. What are they? 20? You got 22 wins leading into the tournament.
Yeah, but it's been bumpy. It's been awfully bumpy for them. And especially early on, it's been bumpy for them. They're now 22-9. I think they're the 3 seed in the Big East tournament.
Yeah, like they're having a good season.
St. John's, the billionaire behind St. John's, and Rick Pitino have built themselves a juggernaut.
You got a lot of good teams in the Big East. St. John's is definitely one of them. Saw them up close a couple weeks ago. They are a problem. Shaka's team in Milwaukee is really, really good, too. And obviously UConn is dangerous as hell.
But this is more interesting even than the college basketball part of it, because it's about the human nature part of it.
Yeah, I wanted to get into this. And one of the reasons that I wanted Speaks to watch it wasn't just because we do have similar feelings on trying to understand folks that are in the business that we're in. And look, the business that we're in has people like this too. And trust, I am on that spectrum. And I can see enough of the Dan Hurley example to go, ooh, I make sure I'm trying to have a little bit of fun, which is why I like you as a partner.
See, now we're getting somewhere. Now I'm here for this. I am here for the personal reveal as mixed in with this, because yes, and so that's why it's holding a little extra resonance for you.
It is, but I am in a space now where I am learning to enjoy some of the other stuff. Like, you know, we've been pretty public about how good things have gone for this show. I let out a yell that everyone who was within 20 feet of Mitch's office could hear when I found out that we had won. And that's because, like, I really wanted to win. And I lived in that. And we've had, and that's the difference from where I'm at now, from maybe where I was when I was younger.
Well, someday Danny Hurley will get there.
Even with his 2 championships and possible third one that might be staring him in the face this year.
A hellhole of suffering.
Suffice to say, he is not there now.
Well, this is the other reason that I wanted to speak to talk to me about this, because he was living in New Jersey with all of the Hurleys.
Yeah, it was a thing. And I can give some context to that for sure.
So Dan and Bobby's father, Bob, is a legendary high school coach at St. Anthony's.
Jersey City St. Anthony's. And that's where Bob has been for a long, long time. And I saw them play. I saw his son Danny as I think the freshman, maybe the sophomore. Bobby, the legendary Duke point guard, was a senior in high school. Jersey City St. Anthony's against a real small school in suburban Pennsylvania called Solbury Prep. And me and my college hoops obsessed buddies drove to see this game in a little barn in Solbury, or whatever the town was called, but the high school was Solbury in Pennsylvania. And they had two other future NBAers on that team in addition to the Hurley brothers. They had Jerry Walker and Terry DeHare, who both went on to play at Seton Hall. The pipeline from St. Anthony's to Seton Hall was quite a thing. So I mean, we were watching the greatest high school team in the country, which is why we drove in the middle of into the middle of Pennsylvania to watch
it. To give you context, Bob Hurley's career achievement include 4 national championships and 26 state championships.
Yeah. Man, amazing. So the dynamic that we saw that night watching just one game was Bobby Hurley running the show as the point guard. Obviously, watching Bob coach and seeing that dynamic, we're checking it out, but we were watching the players a lot. And Danny Hurley was getting crapped on by his big brother and by Walker and DeHare and his father as he subbed in and out. He played the least of the 4 players that we knew. It was like, oh, he's clearly the little brother. And is it just because he's younger, or is he also not as good?
He wasn't as good as Bobby was, because Bobby Hurley was the ideal point guard for late 80s, early 90s college basketball.
And even as a high school senior, as I was watching him, he was cocky and chatty and knew he was better than everybody and was running the entire thing. He was like, his dad might have been the tough guy coach who could also give you some love, but Bobby looked like the entitled spawn of such.
And Bobby is still, even after the car accident and some other humbling things, he is still that dude at Arizona State. And I'm like, ooh, I don't know if you're good enough to be that dude. And meanwhile, your brother.
Yeah, right. And like, I don't know about you. Like, I didn't have any little brothers, but when I would hang around with my friend Brian, who had a little brother, I would make his little brother my little brother. Like, and I would little brother the hell out of that kid. And at one point, he literally, through tears, said, "I'm not your little brother, man. I'm not your little brother." It felt like everybody was treating Danny Hurley like he was their little brother.
Yes.
That night, as I watched the dynamic, it left a mark. So when we watched this, and he's talking about Seton Hall, I was not surprised what his college life was like as a player, the youngest Hurley at Seton Hall.
It's five-man chess, and Hurley is a grandmaster, all but fated for the role.
Are you kidding me? Stop celebrating!
His father, Bob Sr., was a hard-ass Hall of Fame high school coach in Jersey City who won 28 state titles.
Hurley, he finishes!
Dan's older brother Bobby, an iconic college player at Duke, won back-to-back national championships of his own. Dan, on the other hand, struggled as a point guard at Seton Hall.
You've talked about being the third Hurley.
You know, just how I failed to play up to, live up to, succeed up to. You know, the Hurley standard in basketball was, it caused a lot of pain.
Fans piled on, sometimes chanting, "Bobby's better."
It gets to the point where you're a shell of yourself. You're not shooting the ball the way you have your whole life. You have a hard time catching the ball or even dribbling the ball. You know, you got the yips in a way.
In December 1993, it got so bad he left the Seton Hall team after only two games to get his mind right. Dan rejoined the following year, but the joy from playing basketball had been drained. Coaching, though, has offered a second chance.
So he literally had his love of the game killed as a player by being the worst Hurley. So that dynamic I saw in high school played out in college and ended up with him quitting the game.
Him walking away from the game for a while.
Damn.
The other thing that is part of his story.
Are you kidding me? Stop celebrating!
That's his dad.
That's his dad. That's his dad.
That's where something good happened.
The other part is that there was something that drove him to substances. And so he's been pretty open about his road back to sobriety because of some of his issues. And then you start really thinking it's still driving him.
Man.
Like the idea of trauma that we have when we're younger and the impact that it still can have on us as we get older is exemplified in Dan Hurley, because after that little chunk, like he's like, yeah, you know, I'm still working on trying to not be the worst Hurley.
Yeah,
that he still feels that way, and I sympathize with him in that regard.
Uh huh.
It's just he is.
But it drives him. I know about this road to sobriety like he's talking about, and a lot of times you can feel like the piece of crap in the center of the universe, you know? And he obviously had some things that gave him reason to feel that self-centered and that beaten down. And the easiest thing to turn to might be substances, but what's just as easy to turn to and can drive the substances is anger. Is resentment. Like you can sit in the anger and the resentment, and that can drive you to say, F it, I'm gonna enjoy the substances. I know lots of people who've gone through and found sobriety who realized they needed to try and still work in sobriety to let go of the anger. Think about how angry that guy is.
He's very angry.
He's unbelievably angry.
And I understand to a degree his level of anger.
Because he gives into it, Lawrence. He gives in and he lets himself say it and feel it. There's a section of the thing where he's talking about how when he's fighting with a ref, he'll say anything. He'll say anything just to try to get an edge. Like he doesn't care. He'll just go for it. And that abandoning restraint of the anger and just letting it fly is very satisfying sometimes if you're holding on to stuff from your childhood and otherwise.
Am I remembering this right? Did Woj write the book on Bob Sr.?
I think so. I think it was
like
Woj.
The Angels of St. Mary or something like that was the name of the book. I feel like that was the introduction of Adrian Wojnarowski.
The Miracle of St. Anthony.
There it is.
Yep, you got it. The Miracle of St. Anthony was the book by Woj.
Somebody's reading Wikipedia.
Just an Amazon blurb.
I just remember that.
Thank you, Punk. Although
no, it speaks verified. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
I thought Danny wrote it for a second, so I wanted to hold back until you found the actual information.
Good job.
Mac wrote it,
write that,
but it was in the form of a list. It was just the list of the miracles of St. Anthony.
You put those lists together. Yeah. Anyway, to get back to him. So this is how bad things are for Dan Hurley.
Yeah, because like he's given into that anger and totally being driven crazy and driving himself crazy.
You're not going to believe who is giving Dan Hurley advice on him needing to get some better perspective on this.
Gino Auriemma, the women's coach here, 11-time national championship winner, reached out to you. Remember what he said?
You know, if the only outcome that makes you a successful coach or a successful season is whether you hang up a national championship banner, then you should get out immediately.
That register?
Not at the moment, because I think in the back of my mind, I was saying, well, what the hell else am I in this for? But then he stayed at practice, and he kept coaching me from the sideline, like barking at me a little bit. Hey, Dan, you know, the joy of relationships with your players, the joy of getting the most out of your team. If you're only in it for the championship pursuit and none of that other stuff means anything to you anymore, and it's just banners and rings, then you should get out, because it ain't going to happen every year, buddy.
Can this be a successful season if you don't win a third straight title?
Gino. No.
Oh, man. He's trying to listen to Gino Auriemma.
If you've gone so far.
He's been a mentor.
If you go so far.
Yeah.
That Gino Auriemma is like, yo, fam, you're probably doing too much, and you're not appreciating the opportunity. Gino Auriemma.
Smell the roses along the way there, kid. And so he listens to him, tries to take the coaching. But when push comes to shove and he's asked there in the 60 Minutes interview, is it a success if you don't win that tournament? He hems and haws and says no.
Right.
Because he's still there. So Gino, good try. But it has not resonated yet.
But
with Danny Hurley.
That's like getting advice from Tibbs. That's like Tibbs saying to you, you know what you should do? You should live a little bit. You know, that's, shout out to Gino, because what he said is 100% right. And I appreciate that growth in him.
Sure. Well, Gino's also now won 11 titles, I believe it is, and 800 games.
And women's college basketball has become way more competitive.
Oh, sure. But he has reached an age and a success level and an experience level where, of course, there's finally a little wisdom there. Like, Danny maybe will get there. I don't know how long he's been trying to get to a better headspace actively. I got to say, yes, he comes off like a crazy dude, but he comes off like a self-aware crazy dude. And I got respect for that, because he talks about, he shows you the basement room where he meditates and he prays and he tries to find his peace.
He has a zebra that he has in the corner because zebras are bad.
But he's got like the wallpaper that is basically like you're sitting in front of a waterfall there in the basement. Like, I admire
I have an affinity for superheroes. I wear the socks. I wear the underwear.
See, we have something in common.
There's a lot of Lawrence going on here. A lot of the anger and the affinity for superheroes. Are you wearing superhero underwear right now?
No, I don't have any superhero underwear, but I do have superhero socks.
Okay, that's all right.
I like to occasionally, like, well, if I'm doing TV and I'm looking fancy, I'll usually
they break out the fun socks.
Yeah.
I like that.
Rock the Captain America socks or the Superman socks.
How about
or Green Lantern socks?
Here's the big test. Bedspread.
No, I'm an adult.
I had to be sure.
I do have some frame. Some of my favorite comic book covers are framed, and they welcome you when you walk in the house.
Yeah, there you go. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
that's lovely.
It's weird because I don't actually collect comics. I read them and then I donate them. Like, that's,
oh, that's a better way to go anyway.
I agree. And then there's
for the organizational zen of your life,
because you can just end up being You can be killed by it, but and you're stacking them high.
You feel me on the self-awareness? Like, he knows he's crazy.
And
he knows that he needs to calm down at home, and he gets some help in that regard, too.
Yes, his wife was part of the interview as well, and they've been together for a really long time. And this is how their relationship works.
I have to almost kind of, like, I don't want to say shame him, but, like, this is ridiculous. It's a stupid game, and snap out of it.
One team wins and
one team loses. What's the big deal? It's like I always said, it's a 50-50 shot.
There's somebody wins, somebody
there's
loses.
There's not like 12 options you could have.
I suspect it's very helpful to have someone in this household who doesn't necessarily rip her hair out when team misses a screen or someone misses an open jumper.
I don't even know what that is.
With the way that I'm wired.
You know what a screen is.
I have no idea.
She doesn't know, and she's not playing for the cash. She has no idea.
I have no idea.
And if I was coming home to somebody that wanted to talk about a new lineup, a new defense, rehash the game, my personality type and the way I'm wired, it would never work.
This sounds really healthy.
Yeah.
It sounds like your perspective balances his intensity.
Oh, yeah, very well.
See, I am with the reviewer on that. I am with the reviewer on that being the proper perspective for Danny Hurley to come home to. You said, Lawrence, it didn't strike you as a good model for a coach's wife?
I was shocked that was the way that his wife gets down. And the reason is because the thing is that the coach's wife, or in some cases the coach's husband, doesn't have to be an expert in the field, but they often are because of how much time they spend around their spouse. I was surprised to see her rebuff like one of the most simple things in basketball.
Not knowing what a screen is.
I mean, that strikes me like you are a Hurley. Like, and you don't know, like, I don't know if I believe her 100%.
Oh, I did. I totally did.
I understand the reasoning why you might want that separation.
Oh, yes. It strikes me as a couple that has realized early on, as they've been together a long time, had some kids, etc., that he is more than basketball. And he needs to be reminded that he is bigger and more than basketball, no matter the level of success or failure, because right now there's success, but there's a lot of years of failure. They knew each other in college. She helped him probably find out who he actually was and that he can find some value outside of basketball, which he desperately needed and probably still needs. So it strikes me as healthy. I'm with the interviewer, whose name I don't remember, but because Tanny and I, we were talking about this, like having a spouse that's outside the circus where you actually exist, like coming home and talking radio would be a very, as much as I need to, would be I got other people.
You need a release. You need a reset.
I do it every day.
I agree with you, but my experience was a pretty good one in that regard, where having someone who understands the dynamics of the gig is a good way of being able to deconstruct some stuff.
Well, don't get me wrong. My wife knows that Speaks is like super needy, right? And Lawrence is super nice. And Shane is just, Shane is Shane. So, like, it helps. Like, she knows the bullet points. Right. She's up to the speed.
And Christine knows what an insane person Tanny is. She knows. She knows how unstable he is.
Yes.
And she knows
that's the picture you paint of him.
Right, and what a paragon of constancy Shane is. She knows that.
I feel like you're switching that, and I don't really like it. And I think maybe we have to talk after the show. So.
My wife also knows that Shane likes to project. He's insecure, right?
I'm not insecure. I was for a little while, but no longer.
My wife knows that Lawrence is obviously is North Shore, Winnetka, frat boy, scum.
I mean,
was that in there?
Wow.
No, that wasn't in there.
That's a new wrinkle at the end.
I forget what it was. Right, there's trash. I forget.
No, just North Shore, Winnetka, frat boy.
Oh, okay.
I scream North Shore, Winnetka, frat boy.
Yeah, you really do. You scream that. By the way, I don't think any of those things about Danny. He wasn't in a frat.
No, we don't either.
Not from Winnetka.
But Lawrence does wear a lot of Patagonia.
I do.
There's a lot of that stuff going on.
Wait, what is that?
Patagonia.
What's Patagonia?
Something that
like one of the REI.
It's like a North Face type brand.
Like the quarter zips, the Patagonia. Yeah, like
I do have Vineyard a lot of Vines. Vests. Like I have an Eddie Bauer vest. Is that like the same type of deal that we're talking about?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And funnily enough, Danny Parkins went to Homewood Flossmore. Yeah. Do you know that?
Well, I mean, I will say that that's
Vikings.
Where we
go Vikings.
That's where we are similar. Like those two schools are very similar, especially when it comes to the getting you ready for broadcasting thing.
Man, I'm so glad you dragged in the AV cart and made us watch this. And I actually have, I obviously have deep-seated philosophical thoughts on the entire damn thing. And I'll be available.
I mean, there's more. I mean, honestly, we could do another segment at some point, like maybe around the tournament on this, because there's a lot still to unpack there.
Yeah, there really is. There's a lot of stuff. But
we can broaden it out and talk a little bit more about like some of the other personalities that we've seen in the business.
Sure. And I would say that anybody listening to this has learned a lot about their hosts today, if they're listening.
I hope so. I hope that would be the case. That's kind of part of the gig. Mm-hmm. We are going to take you up to Halas Hall in a little bit. We are going to let you hear from the Bears on the big day that they have now that free agency is officially open. Stick around.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Joe Buck, do you know that Spiegs is doing ads for a hair treatment that he doesn't need?
The idea of you doing any sort of hair restoration thing makes me gag. Now, good for you. Yeah. It's all in the name of commerce, and I tip my cap. That's hiding my thin hair.
I haven't seen you on
Afternoons on the Score.
It's a big day at Halas Hall. Why is it a big day at Halas Hall? Well, because now everything can be official. You can talk about the Jackson trade and the Tooney trade, and you can talk about the signings that you've made with Grady Jarrett and Dio Dingbo.
I don't know that they can
Dahlman.
Talk about all of them, right? It seems like there's some. Well, let's hear what they cannot announce, because the timing of that can get screwy.
So this is going to be Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles getting you up to date on everything.
All right, we'll get started. So first, we're both excited. Our whole organization is excited about our new additions to our roster by way of trade, Joe Tooney and Jonah Jackson. And recently signed Grady Jarrett and Durham Smythe. The beautiful thing about this is we both have connection points with these guys, which makes it really good. We know the type of men that they are that are coming into our building, and we're really confident they're going to enhance our entire team and our locker room. I'm proud of the preparation that went into this, our process, as well as our communication between Ben and I, our staffs, and then most importantly, our salary cap folks who took, you know, they had some heavy lifting in this one too. So, you know, part of our process that a lot of people don't know, we spend probably biweekly, we'll get together to talk about our finances and where we can spend and kind of how much flexibility we have. And that was really started by Kevin. And with that openness, it allows us to jump on these opportunities to enhance our football team. And I don't take that lightly at all. So that communication and that collaboration has been huge. Open it up to questions.
Ryan, how much did urgency to get things going quickly play into giving big contracts to veteran players?
Can you explain that?
Like Tooney and Jackson, the salary cap hits that you guys will take for this year, I mean, how much of that was driven by just trying to get things right as quickly as possible on the offensive line and maximize the opportunity you have with Caleb's rookie contract window?
Yeah, I think the focus was how can we enhance our football team? Like I mentioned with the salary cap and the finance part of it, we have the flexibility to do that. And a lot of that has to do with how well Matt Feinstein has kind of structured everything to allow us to do really jump on opportunities where, you know, we had trade options where, again, there are two guys that we're really familiar with that we know can help us not only from a leadership perspective, but also on the field. So when that popped open, we were able to jump on it. And obviously that wasn't part of, you know, the plan back when we're getting ready for free agency. So I've always learned just over the last few years, you got to be on your toes for those things that pop up. So when you match kind of the flexibility and doing good stuff with our salary cap, with opportunities, we were able to jump on it.
Hey, Ben. Patrick Finley from the Chicago Sun-Times. Is there a personality trait or a common
theme to the offensive linemen that you guys wanted and wound up landing?
Yeah, we want some tough, some gritty, some dirty individuals, and we feel pretty good about the two guys we got. Smart is a word that comes to mind, particularly with the interior players. We need guys that we love to have some versatility to our scheme, some multiplicity, if you will. And so we got a couple guys in the building now that we feel strongly can handle a variety of different concepts and schemes that we might want to employ each and every week. Beyond that, I mean, their play speaks for themselves just in terms of what the tape says. The character, the integrity, it's top-notch. I can speak firsthand with Jonah, and Ryan can speak firsthand with Joe. I'm really, really excited to get these guys in the room, combined with the coaches that we've already put together for that room. I feel really good about the style of play we'll have this year.
And is the idea to have Joe at left and Jonah at right?
Yes, that is. Yep.
Ryan, with Joe, how do you frame the value of his arrival, both from adding an on-field proven standout and what he can offer behind the scenes as well?
Yeah, Joe's seen a lot, both from his time in New England. I still remember, it feels like yesterday, where we were signing him into Kansas City, when we were trying to get our offensive line right so we can make a push and win championships. And that's exactly what he brought. So he's seen a lot of different things, played with a lot of different players. So there's a level of maturity and leadership that is definitely going to enhance not only just the offensive line room, but our entire roster.
And then with Jonah, for both of you guys, what did your homework turn up in terms of what his 2024 was like in Los Angeles and sorting through that?
Yeah, just there was a position change. He started out playing center. You can ask him about it, but that's out of position. So just started up a little bit choppy. But when you go back and see when he was in Detroit, shoot, I go all the way back to Rutgers when I watched him. The guy is made of the right stuff, and he's capable of really helping us up front, anchoring, but also getting pushed in the run game.
Yeah. Hey, the guy's a Pro Bowl caliber guard, so that's what we're going to get out of him.
Ryan, can you speak to, like, just the process of going through, specifically when you talk about signing Joe and Grady, just the homework that goes into it from the personnel department to kind of identify veterans that may become available from other teams for whatever the reason may be?
Yeah, you do research on the situation. You know, each team has their own situation. Some teams got to make, you know, moves to change it up on their roster and to kind of clear space. And you're aware of those. You're not sure how they're going to play out. There's a lot of different ways to manipulate and change things up to fit. But in this case, you know, it was unexpected. So obviously when I heard their names, we went to work immediately. And again, I know Joe just from our time in Kansas City, but with Grady, you know, I just being teammates with Matt Ryan, they've shared the locker room, and the words that, you know, how he described that man is special, and it won't take you long to understand that he's different.
Ryan, a couple weeks ago at the Combine, Ben was really confident about being able to flip the interior of the offensive line in one offseason. Mm-hmm. Can you walk us through the process of going the trade route, of evaluating what the guard market looked like and deciding that that was going to ultimately be the path that you guys took to, you know, fit to upgrade the left and right guard spot?
Yeah, you just have to stay open-minded, because, like, what we don't talk about enough is just because you free agency opens up and it looks a certain way, you don't know if there's a connection that player may want to go somewhere else. So it may not even come down to money. It may be the fit for the player. So there's no guarantees just because the board is lined up and you have money to make it happen. So you got to really cast a wide net and be opportunistic and see when opportunities pop up. You know, this is the best thing for us. You do anticipate things like that. But at the same time, it was just about acquiring the best players that we can.
Speaking to the run game specifically, how important is it with, like, what are you looking for from your interior offensive lineman to be able to run as many schemes as you do and be as effective in the run? Like, what do Jonah and Joe possess that leads you to believe that that will yield some?
Yeah, I mean, goals? The intelligence factor is a major portion of it, because they got to be able to handle different fronts for all these variety of schemes that we would like to employ. End of the day, we'll push this thing as far as we feel the collective group can handle up front, and that's where the intelligence is so important to expand on that variety. If we get really good at particular type of blocks, that's what we're going to feature. So we're not going to try to do something that doesn't make sense, but we have two extremely well-rounded individuals here feel really good about Darnell, Braxton, the rest of the group that's in that room right now, and how that thing could look in terms of the combinations, getting movement at the line of scrimmage, playing on the defense's line side of the ball. And that's particular for the run game. Up front, though, in the passing game, we have to be better from a pass protection standpoint, and we really prioritize guys that are going to win one-on-one battles with a three technique, and we feel like both these guys are capable of that.
Speaking of the three technique, what do you like about Grady? I'm sure you've played against him a number of times, and what can he add to the defense? And then a second question would be, how quickly can guys like Joe and Grady, who've been around the block a long time, impact the culture here? They've talked about the culture here for a long time. The record hasn't been great. I think you need a good record to legitimately claim you've got a good culture. Can newcomers impact something like that pretty quickly?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I'd say about Grady is this is a guy for a number of years now that's played at a fantastically high level. Like, this guy is outstanding. You feel his presence. He's a guy you have to game plan for when you go against him. I know when I was in Detroit with Jonah, we talked, like, this is a guy that you gotta, you come out of the game and you're sore because you played against him. He's relentless. He's passionate about what he does. Just talking to him today gave me goosebumps, because this guy loves football and he's going to bring that element to the team. All three of these guys, they've been in the playoffs. They've won playoff games. Joe in particular has won Super Bowls. Yeah, that does rub off to the rest of the locker room, because we're gonna define what it's going to look like in terms of our meeting process, our walkthrough process, our practice habits, what it looks like off the field, because that all translates to winning on the field. All three of these guys have done that at a high level.
Mark.
Hey, Ryan, is this what you've been able to do so far open up what you can do in the draft? Are you looking at it that way?
Yeah, this really opens the whole board for us. So we're going to be able to sit back and kind of look and say, what's the best thing to do for the Chicago Bears? And who's the best player that can impact? So we got some tough decisions and a lot of film to watch between now and the draft.
Two more, Alex and Kevin.
Ryan, can you take us through the process of bringing Grady Jarrett in? I imagine it was a bit of a whirlwind that happened really quickly. Can you just take us through the process of that deal coming together?
Yeah, just, you know, the way social media is, you see a pop-up and you're like, oh my, like, let me check the tape. Let's go back to the tape, look at the grades that we have in the system, and, again, make some phone calls just to get an understanding of who he is as a man. And all of those things check the box. And, again, someone that can help move this team to where we need to go.
Last one, Kevin.
Ben, what was the process like with the offensive line specifically, working with Ryan? Obviously, position he knows well. What was that experience like, kind of merging what you look for, what he looks for out of linemen to land these two guys?
Yeah, it's a combination of my experience. Certainly, he's got a heavy background. So does Ian Cunningham, you know. Dan Roshar, bringing him into the fold. Kyle Devan. It's been an entire group think process. Everyone's had a voice and a say in what we want this thing to look like and how it could unfold. So I think the collaboration's been fantastic so far.
So that was Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson talking about most of the moves that the Bears have made, because they're still pending physicals on Odingbo and Dahlman. So that's why you didn't hear them talk about them just yet. Man, Ben Johnson is out here with his chest out. He is like, hey, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
What'd he say? Tough, gritty, dirty individuals. That's who we brought in here.
Those were his first words about this these signings. Tough, gritty, dirty guys to be physical on that offensive line. He talked about their versatility in that same moment that you're talking about, Lawrence, his first chance to address this stuff. And he mentioned the variety of schemes. He got back to that a little bit later on when he talked about the run game in a way that really excited me. But in general, the variety of schemes he's going to run is really exciting. He also mentioned early on that he has firsthand experience with Jonah Jackson. Ryan Poles has firsthand experience with Joe Tooney.
That quote about Jonah Jackson Pro Bowl caliber guard, and that's what we're going to get out of him.
Ha ha! Like, get ready, Jonah. I'm going to get that out of you. He knows that it didn't go well last year, but he knows that he drives it. He's a chesty dude. He's a football coach. You know, there's a lot of people who worried about Ben Johnson. Is like, oh man, he's kind of a nerd, and he can take a joke about that, and he is like, he's.
But he was also a quarterback.
Yeah, but he's. He's a science and math guy, and he loves analytics, and he was a quarterback, but he is a football coach who will be arrogant and confident with the best of them, and you saw it today.
Look, I don't know if any of this relates to the Bears winning. I just know that it's refreshing to not have a coach say to you, well, we'll see. He has an idea and an identity that he is trying to put together in conjunction with Ryan Poles on how all this is going to go. And I appreciate that he's not afraid to share that with you. It's not giving away scheme to say, hey, I want our team to be tough. That I'm looking for these. I'm looking for guys that can win one-on-one blocks with three techniques.
Oh, man. That section about, because that's what he said about the pass game, that in pass blocking, he needs guys on the interior who can win their one-on-one battles with the three technique. Thank you for giving us that specifics. We've been breaking down linemen for a couple of days here. We're ready for that. And then the stuff about the run game there, man, he said the intelligence factor of the group is major. We will push this as far as the collective group can handle. The group intelligence, because they're going to have a variety of schemes like we've been talking about, a whole bunch of different kind of run schemes, inside zone, outside zone, gap schemes, etc. And then he said this, quote, if we get good at a particular type of blocks, that's what we'll feature. And man, your whole life.
You've
been thinking about it as an offense coordinator, and every year, like Matt Nagy's saying about Mitch or saying about Fields. Yeah, if he's good at something, that's what we'll do. This is a man saying it about the group offensive line.
Which, by the way, means, hey, Caleb, you got to be a part of this thing too. That you have to raise your level of play
for sure
with who they brought in so they can do all of that. Let's take a quick timeout.
Dude.
Let's talk a little bit more about the things that we heard. By the way, Grady Jarrett, 4 o'clock. You are going to love what you hear from him. Stick around. Spiegel and Holmes here with you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Daxer you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Who would dare interrupt me during my midday fast? Yeah. Oh, the Spiegel and Holmes Show.
Afternoons on the Score.
End of the day, we'll push this thing as far as we feel the collective group can handle.
Man, the way that Ben Johnson talks about offensive concepts, you're listening to Spiegel and Holmes on the Score. It's just so exciting. We'll have plenty of time to talk about it. The fact that he's got the facility to move from concept to concept and, you know, blocking scheme to blocking scheme, but still, he's going to follow the lead of the players. We will push it as far as the collective intelligence of the group allows us to. That's exciting.
He's talked about that before, where people keep, what about all those trick plays? We have to build to those.
Right, right, right. That's the whole thing.
We're not just putting those in. We have to build to those type of plays.
Man, it's the dream to have somebody schematically who will just figure, all right, what are we good at? Okay, well, let's keep doing that.
Yeah, let's do that until they stop it, and I'll build a counter for when they stop it.
Isn't that the same thing as good pitching wisdom in MLB? Hey, but your slider's really good. Why aren't you throwing that more?
Yeah.
And then let's work off of that, shall we?
You would think.
Yeah, so it's the same thing.
That's the way to go. Check this. When we come back, Grady Jarrett spoke, and if you were not a believer before, you are going to be a believer next on The Score.
The Bernstein and Harris Show, middays 10 a.m. till 2 on 670 The Score.
Ben Johnson, you got paid all the money to work with this young quarterback. You told us you believed in this young quarterback, so now we get to find out if the proof really is in the pudding, because you're on the clock, Caleb Williams.
The problem is, this is a huge referendum on your last 3 years of drafting, too.
Free agency gives you an idea of how Ben Johnson and this regime is looking at other teams' players. We know their eyes out here are evaluating talent a certain way. It's going to be fascinating to see when they turn the gaze inward what those judgments are.
Bernstein and Harris, middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And live on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, this is Spiegs, and FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner here at 670 The Score. This week, FanDuel's bringing you a Dog of the Day Profit Boost token. One of the best parts about the tourney is when an underdog takes down a powerhouse. And right now, those upsets can get even better, because if your underdog bet wins, you'll land even more winnings with a profit boost. This is your chance to ride with the long shots, the scrappy teams, the ones that refuse to go quietly. Upsets happen every year, especially during this week with the conference tournaments. Find that underdog game that you're going to watch, that you got a good feeling about, and get in. If you've been waiting to join FanDuel, there's no better time. The app is easy to use, and when you win, you get paid instantly. Just visit FanDuel.com/Matt to download America's number one sportsbook today and back your Dog of the Day with a profit boost. Because after all, anything can happen in March. 21 plus and present in Illinois. Opt-in required. Wager of at least plus 100 odds required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including any token expiration and max wager amount. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.